All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. And looking forward to a great show today. It's a little bit warm, a little dreary out there, but we got a great show to brighten up your day. It's going to be talking to Steve Scott. Everybody remembers him from most notably from the playing against Tiger Woods in the USGA AM, but he's gone on to do many other things. He's involved with the Outpost Club, a sort of a non-tradition sort of golf club, and also now introducing the Silver Club Golfing Society, which I'm really interested in talking to him about. So that'll be really interesting. Little leaderboard update. Got the CJ Cup at the Nine Bridges in Korea. Brooks Koepka bombing it away at minus 13 with the match play ninja Ian Poulter and Scott Piercy at minus 9. So a few shots behind. And in Andalucia, Valderrama Masters, Sergio Garcia not only hosting but also defending champion. He's tied with Ashley Chesters at minus 5 at a lead. And in the Buick LPGA Shanghai, Carlota Segonda and Se Young Kim are both tied at minus 11 under par. So people going low internationally this morning. So looking forward to talking to Steve Scott. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined on the line by PGA professional Steve Scott, the professional for the Outpost Club. Steve, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Doing fantastic. A little overcast, a little light rain this morning, but 56 degrees, so I can't complain. So hopefully get at least 9 in later on today.
Yeah, I know. It's the time of year. Our golf days become getting a little bit numbered, and especially up in the Northeast. Fortunately, I'm down here in North Carolina, and we get a little more of an extended fall and into the winter, so it's pretty good.
It's I'm pretty sure that if they did analytics on the demographics of who's checking the 10-day weather report online, it's going to be if there was a demographic for golfers, it would be spiking at this point. I feel like I'm every day I'm checking the 10. I don't even want the 5-day. I want the 10-day. I want to see if there's going to be squeeze any other 60-degree days out there that's going to be, and then we know we're going to be hitting it hard.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to talk about the let's start with just your amateur career. I mean, obviously, one of the interesting things I thought, I know everybody knows about the thing with Tiger Woods and your battle with him, and I don't think people talk about it when you remind him to move his coin enough, but you know, that little snapshot in time really revealed a lot about you and your character. But I think that one of the things I was curious about, you played on the Walker Cup with Matt Kuchar, and I was just curious if he had a sharp as tongue back then as he does as he's noted for having now.
He was always a bit of a jokester, and yeah, Kuch is he's just a kind of a fun-loving guy. What you see is what you get. Amazing how his game, it just kept progressing. He changed his golf swing, I want to say, 3 to 5 years in at least to being a professional, and really revamped the way he putts, and he just found a way to be a top 10 machine and basically an ATM out there on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, yeah. It's he sort of has that. It's a little more notable, obviously, than Charles Howell III, but he's another top 10, ATM machine, too. I'm a little surprised he hasn't been able to put it together. Usually, when guys are that talented, I'm always surprised when they just, for one major, can't seem to put it all together. Does that surprise you a little bit?
Yeah, he certainly had his chance, if you're talking about Kuchar, right? He had his chance at the Open Championship, and Jordan Spieth, basically stole it from him.
He did.
And with some amazing putting. And, yeah, Kuchar's just, I think what's made him a top 10 machine over time has also probably prevented him from getting in the winner's circle a few extra times, maybe a little bit. You play a conservative approach to the game and, always playing percentages, and you do that over time, and you're going to cash a lot of checks. You're going to be like Charles Howell, great players, won many times, but maybe didn't break through to really come up to the potential that everybody thought that they could get. But I just think it probably has to do a little bit maybe with the game plan that he used, play to his strength of putting, instead of trying to go at the pin and, hit it 10 or 15 feet from the hole. Maybe he played more conservatively to 25 or 30 feet and tried to let his putter do the talking. And maybe that's kind of what led him to be, very consistent, but maybe not, not getting in the winner's circle as much as he could.
Yeah, it's interesting you put it that way. And then, on the other hand, you have, a Phil Mickelson who has always played aggressive. And it makes you think, but he's pulled off the shots because he's never been afraid to. And so it's not that Kuchar is afraid to be successful, if that's fair to say. But he may not be as, like you said, his frame of mind is not to be aggressive, and aggressive play doesn't, when you're conservative, you sort of lose that sort of, Phil will go for the throat, where Kuchar is going to kind of, just be more conservative. It's an interesting, dichotomy between the two.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Mickelson has gotten, has gotten slack in the press for not, not pulling off some event or some tournaments, but, he's won so many times. And to win, you have to, there's a few times during the event where you're going to have a decision, do I go for this par five and play, maybe a bit of a hero shot, or do I, just lay up? And, to win, you have to take a couple risks that the other players won't take, and that's what will separate you.
Yeah. Well, you after your amateur career, obviously very successful amateur career, the accolades are, go on and on about your success. And, three-time NCAA All-American, couple of Walker Cup teams, as I mentioned. It just goes on and on. And then you decided you wanted to give it a shot. To turn pro, what was that decision like for you? Was that an easy decision? Did you feel like you had so much success as an amateur that you just thought it was a natural progression? How was it for you?
Yeah, great question. Growing up, I grew up about 5 minutes away from where the Honda Classic was played at the TBC at Eagle Trace, and just near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And, since the age of 10, I knew I wanted to be a pro. I knew I loved the atmosphere. Then I got into tournaments and I started playing, and I loved it. And I knew I wanted to do that. And so the decision for me, it wasn't too difficult. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something where, to be a professional and play for your living, you have to have every facet of the game. And I might have had 8 of the 10 things you need to be a great pro, but I didn't quite have the distance off the tee. I could carry the ball 270, not 290 or 300 at the time. And now I think my, looking back, and as you get older, you hopefully mature, and,
right.
my maturity level has gotten a lot better on the golf course nowadays, and I think that's what's attributed to some of my better play as of late, in the PGA professional ranks.
Sure. And then you sort of transition out of the game. That decision, I think, is another difficult decision. But it's again, you the game has been good to you, I think, all around, but your transition out of the game, you know, not every pro likes to be a teacher, but what was it about teaching that attracted you to that profession?
I learned a lot from Bob Toski.
Yeah.
Toski, he is he's still alive and kicking. He's 91 years old now. I spoke with him about a month ago on his birthday, and he just infused so much passion into helping others with the game. And I went to him initially just for help with my game, and I learned so many things about the golf swing. I started helping people, and all of a sudden it started to become really fun and rewarding to get out there and help somebody fix whatever is was ailing them. So
right.
It was just one of those things that I love to start helping people, and it just kind of worked.
Sure. Well, since you mentioned Bob Toski, and so obviously major influence on you, how would you describe yours and his sort of teaching philosophy? There's so much stuff out there now between whether it's whether you're a biomechanical type of technical aspects of it or sort of an old school. Where do you fit in on that?
I would say I'm definitely more of the old school nature, I guess. You know, less about the, you know, I've been on all the launch monitors sometimes it's good to know a few of those things, but I would say most of the time it's, unless you're a majorly analytical person who loves numbers and needs it, mm-hmm. it can really be detrimental to your game, I think. And for me, it never really, I don't know, it just never really jived with me. If I can hit a one shot shape and make sure that I know the ball's curving right to left, you know, my club is going to be doing certain things, and that's great. But understanding all those things and having all those computations in your mind very often lead to, for me at least, a analysis by paralysis sort of thing, and I've become less athletic on the golf course. And the best thing you can do on playing golf is just, because it's a game, you want to be athletic. And so getting all those numbers and computations in your mind, you know, they're good to a point, but then you have to let them go once you're performing the act of the swing.
Sure. I kind of feel like, and maybe this is too much of a broad stroke, but I just feel like it's just can be too overwhelming, I think, for an amateur golfer, even if you think you like that stuff. And even if you do know you think you know that you like this stuff, I just think that you don't get a chance to practice enough as an amateur. If you're playing, you know, if you're working a full-time job, you know, it's just, I feel like you need to simplify, not be, you know, be overwhelmed by numbers or, you know, biomechanics and this and that. When you're not even practicing, you know, maybe you're playing once a week if you're lucky, if you don't have a family or whatever the case may be, maybe you're practicing once a week too, at best. You know, I just feel like all that stuff is too overwhelming. If you had time to work through it all, you know, whatever it is, a month to go through it, and you had a month off or whatever, that maybe then it might be a little more helpful. But when you're the average golfer who doesn't really get a chance to play as much, I feel like all that stuff can just be too overwhelming for the amateur golfer, even if they think it's good for them.
Yeah, it certainly can take away from some of that natural, reactionary athleticism, for sure. But I think one thing that the technology does really help is it helps in, you know, the club fitting aspect. If you're trying to get fit for a driver and understand spin rates and your launch angles and, you know, making a, it basically quantifies what you're feeling. So I think that, you know, club fitting, you know, companies, you know, like a Club Champion or, you know, understanding what you do on a blast motion, you know, for putting, you know, and understanding how your putter face works through the ball. A few of those things, and using, you know, one or two of their parameters here and there to try to figure a few things out is good. But at the end of the day, when you get on the golf course, you can't play golf swing, and your best scores are going to come when you're playing when you're not playing golf swing, when you're playing golf and,
yep.
and being athletic.
Sure. We're talking with PGA professional Steve Scott. He's the professional for the Outpost Club. We're going to sort of cruising through his career a little bit to this point. We're going to take a short break. More with Steve Scott. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Mizuno Golf and Pete's Golf Shop are proud to introduce the new JPX 919 series of irons. With three levels of playability, from the JPX 919 Tour, the JPX 919 Forged, and the explosive JPX 919 Hot Metal, there's three irons that could fit a wide variety of players. Please come to Pete's Golf and get custom fit to find out which set works for you, because as everyone knows, nothing feels like a Mizuno.
All right, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. We're talking with Outpost Club PGA professional Steve Scott. Steve, so you ended up at Paramount, and I wanted to, the reason why I bring it up is because I think that it's sort of interesting now that you're involved in the Outpost Club, which is sort of, that goes to these sort of architecturally significant places and clubs. But you got a chance to work with Phil Young and Jim Urbina in restoring that, bringing in the master plan. How exciting was that to sort of bring back an old gem?
Yeah, the golf course at Paramount, really really great Tillinghast design. We'll call it a sporty Tillinghast. It was under 6,800 yards, it was all about the approach shots and getting the ball in the right positions on the greens, and the greens were very, very slopey. But to spend time and understand, you know, the genius that was Tillinghast, and to have a great architect like Jim Urbina come back and take a peek and help restore the whole thing. It was pretty eye opening.
Yeah, I would think you'd have a lot of get sort of an inside look to how those guys think and their work, and now you're the PGA professional for the Outpost Club. Which is a sort of wonderful organization, well named, apropos, obviously. That's got to be a lot of fun for you.
The Outpost Club has been a super transition for me and my family. We've been able to we've been able to live near our family finally after 10 or 11 years, and that's been very, very, very helpful. But the Outpost Club has been the whole membership we have. North of 750 members all around the country, and we run more than 70 events domestically and internationally. I've got a colleague coming back from a trip from Japan. Now I've got I'm going to be heading up to Yale Golf Club up in New Haven, Connecticut, not too far away from you.
For, yep.
Our great event we call the Punch Bowl. It's going to be the 12th edition of that. We've got it's a lot of fun, mixed with camaraderie, mixed with great golf at these great architecturally significant courses. We go to great resort places as well, but we play some of the great private clubs in the country as well. So, and your listeners can find out more on www.outpostclub.com and take a peek at that.
Yeah, what I think the Outpost Club is everything that's great about golf, in the sense that you get to represent sort of, as you said, the fun golf and playing great places, but more about the who you're playing with as opposed to just where you're playing. And this sort of traveling band of golfers not being sort of localized and sort of insulated, but out there in the golfing community, I think is what the most attractive thing to me that is about the Outpost Club.
We just have a lot of fun. A lot of golf knowledgeable people who they just appreciate being there. And I think the the best way I can sum it up is the Outpost Club is a, it's kind of a, you take the 5 or 10 best members from your club and the ones who support the golf shop and support the caddy program and really understand, you know, golf and the architectural significance of certain courses like you have in the Met section. And
mm-hmm.
you take those type of members, and those are the members of the Outpost Club. And we're just very fortunate to be able to play golf on some wonderful places and just to be able to, you know, just share in the game that we love so much.
What was it about what surprised you the most about the Outpost Club? That, I mean, it's obviously very rewarding for you, not, you know, to be able to serve its members, but I know, like you said, to bring your family closer to your families. But what sort of took you by surprise about the Outpost Club that you didn't sort of expect?
I think the biggest thing that took me by surprise is how many events we run. We run so many events. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And we run so many events that our membership has a opportunity. We go all over the world. I mean, it blows my mind of the venues that we get to go. And you know, we'll do 15 international trips. We've got an event set up at Terra Iti next year in New Zealand, among others. We're going to Australia, Scotland, Japan, all over the world. You know, we had a trip to the Machu Picchu in Peru this year.
Yep.
We infused some a golf and a sightseeing trip there. We went to South Africa, and you know, we did a safari, and you know, I'm not going on all these trips personally.
Right.
You know, I'm going. I go about 20. I do about 20 events myself throughout the year at least. And now we're transitioning over to this. To our new entity, it's called the Silver Club Golfing Society, which is super exciting. It's basically a competitive, we'll just say a competitive version of the Outpost Club. Although they're going to be two separate memberships and two separate groups. Although we will probably have some spillover from the OC members.
Sure.
But it'll be indexed at 7.9 and below. We'll play, and we'll also play. You know, it's basically competition and camaraderie mixed into one, and on just some of the great venues and noteworthy venues in the country. We've got our schedule lined up already. We're going to we'll go to Bay Hill. We go to Point of Woods up in Michigan. We'll be in Hidden Creek in Atlantic City. We'll go to Barton Creek, and we'll have our finale at Champions Retreat down near Augusta in December. So. And then we'll have some one-day events sprinkled in there. It's going to be a ton of fun to get some great people and great competitors together in this, you know, amateur tour, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, no, and people can find out more about it at the Silver Club Golfing Society.com. You're also having a launch party in New York City on October 26th at 5 Iron Golf. In New York from 7:30 to 10:30. You could register at SilverClubGolfingSociety.com. That should be a fun event.
Yeah, that's going to be great. We'll be up there on, this Friday night. It's come here already. We've been doing a lot of planning over the year, and our launch party is getting going, and we're really excited. We're already taking members. You can sign up through our website, and we can take. We've got a number of members already. We're just getting this thing off the ground, so we've got some really good commitments already. Some great amateur players like mid amateur Nathan Smith, won the 4 mid amateurs, played in the Masters. Another great amateur named Andrew Bigadike, who won the Travis this year out in Garden City. So we're making a name for ourselves really quickly, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I look forward to the party, and it should be a great time. And I just like the idea that you're giving an opportunity to play a little more competitive golf, but yet in the spirit of the Outpost Club, where it's really about the friendship and the fraternity and the camaraderie of the of playing golf. And so that's I find attractive as much as anything.
Anthony, I think one of the biggest things that you know, we hear that golf is shrinking and their clubs are closing and yada yada, but there are people out there, they still want to spend money on golf. They might spend, you know, whether it's $1,000 or $10,000 a year on golf. And so what they want, and the reason why maybe some clubs are having issues over time, people want variety. They want to be able to play a lot of different places, and the competition or the event has to be memorable.
Yep.
So the venue has to be great, and the people that you go with have to be fun. And I think that's why you're seeing the Outpost Club be very successful, and now the Silver Club Golfing Society is already starting off to be very successful. So I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing this, maybe this shift a little bit. And we're not looking to take people away from their home clubs. We're looking to be a, you know, an add-on,
yep,
really, but just in a way that people can play a lot of different golf courses. And, you know, we'll take care of organizing the events up, and you know, they just show up and enjoy.
Do you have a do you care how many people sign up for this the Silver Club Golfing Society, or is there a number? Are you just whoever wants to play can play? Is there
no specific number at all? I mean,
right.
We're looking to grow this, you know, as large as we can grow it. And we know that some of the other amateur tours, if you will, out there are, they have 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 members all over the country. So,
right,
you know, will we be that big? Probably not.
Right.
But you know, we'll have an initiation fee and dues and have all that sort of thing. But we just want to create a great network of people and players, and that's no specific numbers
right
at this point. No.
Yeah, no, and I think you know, I not that it needs to be small, but I think you're going to probably, it'll be whatever the number is, it'll be the right amount of the right number. It's sort of those things sort of work themselves out, and you know, when you have people like yourself and your colleagues at the Outpost Club, quality people like yourself are going to attract quality people, and it should be a good time.
Yes, yeah, we're just at the end of the day, people want to have fun, and golf,
yep,
is a game, and we're going to make it as fun as we can make it. We're going to have great guest speakers at our events for the Silver Club. We've already signed up legendary amateur and television broadcaster Steve Melnick,
mm-hmm,
as one of our guest speakers for our opening event. So it's
so cool.
We're just cranking away, and we want to bring people and make them, get them connected with the game, and you know, the history of amateur golf, and just the competition in general, and make them really feel like they're part of something special.
I love it. I love everything about it. Steve, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Really appreciate your time. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you for so much for having me on, Anthony.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day. All right. That was Steve Scott from the Outpost Club, teaching professional at the Outpost Club, also doing the Silver Club Golfing Society. So you can get those things at the silverclubgolfingsociety.com, outpostclub.com, those two separate items, although as Steve mentioned, there'll be some carryover. So you know, you can find more information there. And again, you can register at silverclubgolfingsociety.com for their launch party this Friday, 7:30 to 10:30, 5 Iron Golf, New York City. All right, folks, that's it for this week. What a pleasure to talk to Steve Scott. Have a great week, folks, and we'll catch you next week for our last show of the year.